This episode of Dean Bakari's Meaningful Show is brought to you by Flashbooks, where you can get best-selling business and self-improvement book summaries that you can read or listen to in under 20 minutes. To learn more and get started for just a buck today, visit www.getflashnotes.com. Welcome to the Meaningful Show podcast, where every single week we work to bring you an inspiring insight, idea, or interview to help you live better, work better, and be better both in life and in business. Brought to you by MeaningfulHQ.com, we've got one very simple goal here on this show, and that is to help you do more of what matters and less of what doesn't. I'm your host, Dean Bakari, and if you're ready, then I'm ready. So let's get into it. Long time ago, a fellow named Mark Twain said that there are two types of speakers, those that are nervous and those that are liars. Today, we're going to be talking about some tips on overcoming public speaking anxiety. You know, there aren't many moments in which I can remember that I wasn't feeling some butterflies at least, or a certain degree of fear or nervousness before approaching the stage and addressing an audience. And, you know, I don't know how many speaking related events that I've participated in. And the truth is, it's totally normal to feel some butterflies. Everybody feels it. If someone says that they don't, even regardless of how seasoned of a speaker they may be, they're probably lying to you, you know. And let me tell you why. And let me tell you how I know this. You know, scientists tell us that this feeling of fear is even built within our genetic code. It's built within us to respond with heightened levels of alertness and nervousness when we're facing a large crowd of people. And especially when we're the only ones on the opposing side, right? In his book, Confessions of a Public Speaker, which is an excellent book on public speaking, by the way, author Scott Berkin tells us the following. He says, our brains, for all their wonders, identify the following four things as being very bad for survival. One, standing alone. Two, in an open territory with no place to hide. Three, without a weapon. And four, in front of a large crowd of creatures staring at you. In the long history of all living things, any situation where all of the above were true was very bad for you. It meant that the odds were high that you would soon be attacked and eaten alive. Many predators hunt in packs, and their easiest prey are those who stand alone, without a weapon, on a flat area of land where there's little cover, i.e. a stage, where you're the only person on stage and you're facing a large crowd of people. So it's your biological mechanism, you know, the millions and millions of years of history in your genetic code are gonna tell you that your brain needs to register fear right now, because you're on one side of the room and you know, whatever, hundreds of people or thousands of people or even 10 or 20 or 30 people are staring at you and looking at you. You know, your brain's going to register, your body's going to register that as a bad thing, even though it's really not, right? So that's why you're feeling nervous or scared or anxious or fearful before addressing a crowd. That's why so many people are afraid, deathly afraid of speaking in public. So, you know, our ancestors developed that fear response to these types of situations. So regardless of how much experience someone might have as a speaker, how many times you've given lectures, no matter how comfortable someone might appear to, you know, an audience when they're in front of a room or giving a speech, it's a scientific fact that your brain and body are going to experience some kind of fear, however small, maybe even a little bit if you're seasoned, before and sometimes often, or at least a little bit, even during your speech or during the presentation or toast or whatever it is. So, you know, don't feel like you're the only one. Obviously you're not. Millions of people are, but even, you know, people who have done it over and over and over again, professional speakers, feel the anxiousness, the butterflies before giving a talk, a presentation, whatever, right? Like, if you think about it this way, when if you're looking at a crowd of people, right, that's what you see, the people that you're addressing and you're speaking to, what your brain's really seeing is a bunch of lions just sitting out there ready to pounce on you, right? Even though that's not really true, that's how your brain is registering it. That's why people get so pissed their pants, like scared, you know, to speak in public. That's why. So the bottom line is the scary sensations, they ain't gonna go anywhere. They are not going anywhere. So rather than running away from them, I think it's important that we realize that we should embrace them and learn to utilize them to our advantage. And at worst case scenario, at least let's learn how to overcome the fear and eventually put a little bit of, you know, anxiety management practices to work here so that we can eventually overcome that fear at least. So let's talk about some of those anxiety management practices when it comes to overcoming public speaking anxiety. Okay, let's dive in. The first tip is on turning that anxiety into energy. Turn anxiety into energy. When it comes to public speaking, one of the best ways to overcome anxiety and nervousness is to use it, right? Use the energy that your body generates as a result of you being so nervous and put it towards your presentation, speech, talk, whatever. You know, one of the coolest things about being afraid and anxious and fearful is that our bodies produce various chemicals like cortisol, which in small doses, you know, people think it's a stress hormone and it's bad, bad, bad for you. And it is after a certain degree. But in tiny, tiny little doses, it can be really, really helpful for you. For instance, like, you know, we've all heard those examples of, you know, a mom getting super strength when they see their child, you know, trapped underneath a truck or a big rock or I don't know, something. And all of a sudden they get this crazy strength and they move it out of the way. Well, that's cortisol at work. That's the stress hormone that's giving them this rush of energy. You know, our ancestors, they'd get those rushes of energy when they'd see a predator. Like, for instance, when they were running away from a lion, you know, they need that extra boost. You know what I mean? And so like a race car, you know, they just use that. They push that button, that cortisol button, and bam, you know, it just gives them that extra energy. So for in small, tiny, tiny, tiny little doses, it's helpful. Anything beyond that, you're going to start experiencing negative effects as a result of that, you know, like continuous stress and stuff like that. So anyways, one of the coolest things again about being afraid and anxious and fearful is that our bodies produce various chemicals, again, like cortisol, when we anticipate something that we are afraid of. And this actually results in an increased amount of adrenaline and energy, right? So most people are too busy being afraid to actually think about channeling their energy and their anxiety into energy and enthusiasm. But now that you know about it, what you gonna do, baby? You won't be one of those people, right? What you'll do instead is hopefully use this energy when it arises to connect with your audience and deliver your message with power and purpose. Tip number two, have a deep desire to talk about something, right? When it comes to public speaking and life in general, right? Your desire must be equal to the effort that success demands. Have a burning deep desire, you know, have enthusiasm. Tell everyone about whatever it is that you want to tell them about, right? Be excited to deliver whatever message you want to deliver. If you can't cultivate a deep desire to deliver a message, then why the heck are you up there in the first place talking, right? If you don't want to be up there, if you don't want to say something, deliver some sort of idea, message, thing that you want to convey, then why are you up there in the first place? You probably shouldn't be on stage. Don't even do the talk, you know? Tip number three, practice. Practice, practice, practice. I like to say always, you probably heard me say this before, practice doesn't make perfect, practice makes progress. And that's the most important thing. Set aside time to practice. Never gonna be perfect, but you're always gonna be making progress the more you practice. Repetition, there's an old saying, repetition is the mother of skill. So set aside some time to practice. Make it easy to move forward and hard to set aside. Write it down. Schedule your time to practice. Time block it like it's a job. You know, if you don't practice, your anxiety is going to be at least 10 times as worse than it would have been if you just went over it a few times. So keep that in mind. Tip number four, know your message. Do you know what you're going to talk about? What's the point of the entire talk? Figure it out. Know what you're going to talk about. Know it well. Have a message and think of yourself as the messenger. I like to think of it that way. You know, I have a message and I'm the messenger. It's my job to deliver that message. And remember that people care more about the message, by the way, than the messenger. So master your message. And for goodness sake, don't speak until you are sure that you have something to say. Then say it and sit down. The fifth idea is to know exactly how you're going to start and exactly how you're going to end. Okay? Oftentimes people won't remember the middle of your speech, but they'll always remember how you start and how you end. How you start and how you end. You know, people don't read a book to, you know, get to the middle. They want to get to the end. So remember, get your beginning down, get your intro down, get your outro down. Get your intro down, get your outro down. Get those two things memorized. I wouldn't recommend memorizing the rest of it, but I would recommend memorizing those two things, the intro and the outro. The intro and the outro. Tip number six, use props if you can. Consider finding a prop to use, or, you know, like write on a blackboard, for instance, or, you know, grab a marker and like a pad of some sort so you can write your ideas down to illustrate them. Not only is this going to be more helpful for you because it gives you something to do while you're on stage or presenting, but it also will help convey the message for your audience as well. Obviously, you can't use props in every situation, but when you can, you know, it could be helpful for you. So, and oh, by the way, you know, having something to do while you're on stage can also help suppress that like all eyes on me feeling. You know, it's like everybody's looking at me. I don't know what to do. Oh my God, I'm so nervous. You know, having something to do will suppress that anxiety by sort of helping you forget about that feeling of, you know, oh my God, everybody's looking at me, all eyes on me, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. So use props if you can. If you are able to do so, it could be helpful for you. Tip number seven, breathe. Regulate your bodily actions. Breathe in deep through your nose. Then release slowly through the mouth and focus on your breath while you do this. It helps mucho, big time, super helpful. If you do this three times before you get on stage, you'll feel super, not necessarily decrease your anxiety like by tenfold or anything like that, but it will help you feel better. It will help you calm down. Calm the nerves a little bit. And tip number eight, talk like they owe you money, baby. In his book, Public Speaking for Success, Dale Carnegie advises us to speak with confidence and congruence, as if you were addressing someone that owes you money. I like that little tip there, so I thought I'd add it in. And finally, the ninth and final tip is to just do it, baby. You know the saying, just do it. The never-failing way to develop self-confidence, again, is to just get up there and speak and just practice and try it and do it over and over and over again. With practice, you begin to tame the fear. Even experienced public speakers get anxiety. So remember, you just got to keep on trying and experiencing and practicing, and you'll get better with time. But if you never pull the car out of the driveway, you'll never be able to know what it feels like to drive on the road. You know what I mean? So you got to get out there and do it. And what you'll experience as a result of doing so is that you've grown. You've become more confident. And some of those results will potentially probably start pouring into other areas of your life as well. Yo, it's Dean. Listen, I hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast. If you found this episode inspiring, or if anything else you've heard on the show has helped you or made an impact on your life in any way, I'd really appreciate it if you showed me a little love with a quick review over on iTunes or on whichever podcast platform you tune into the show on. Every single review helps us reach and inspire more people to live like they give a damn. Listen, if you've got self-help questions of your own that you'd like me to answer live on the podcast, hit me up over at meaningfulhq.com. You can submit them over on the contact page, or you can just shoot your questions directly to me at questions@deanbakkari.com. Thanks again so much for subscribing, sharing, and tuning into the show. I've said it before, I'll say it again. It's because of you and tens of thousands of other listeners from around the world tuning in every single week, week after week, day after day, that we are able to continue creating content to help you crush it and make an impact in your life and at work. So thank you for being part of this and continuing to share the podcast with your friends, your family, and anyone else you think it could help. Until next time, this is Dean Bakkari telling you to go out there every single day and live like you give a damn.